Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, we are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of Trib Tower, and that was Jack White, and who's released a new piece of vinyl. It was released an album, an actual album, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about vinyl. The format has had a resurgence. There's some recent releases we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about turntables and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you're into vinyl, you're into music, give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. My guest writes about vinyl for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. And it's Jim Hanke. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's really nice to meet you face-to-face. We've had a lot of contact with each other, you know, via emails and you know, Facebook and all that cool stuff.
Absolutely.
And you're in the music business.
Sure.
But like a lot of the bands that come in,
yes,
you also like help represent.
Yeah, basically what it is I played in bands for a very long time, but I also wrote music reviews and music press and that kind of stuff. Since I was 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
So when my last...
Okay, Cameron Crowe.
Right, exactly. So when my last band kind of fizzled out, I decided to, instead of start another band, I decided to focus on writing, but also still enjoy music and promote bands and stuff. So I was writing press releases and bios for friends of mine and stuff like that. And then it just started where I started approaching bands that were kind of on this cusp of, it looks like they've got their act together, but they might not have somebody going to bat for them with area media.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I hooked up with all these bands. I don't technically manage any of them. It's just
right.
One of those things where they have a big show, they have a big release, they don't really know how to reach out necessarily to all the proper channels. So that's how I hooked up with DJ Shagru here and started bringing some bands in for you.
Well, you know,
it's been a real treat.
It's so much fun to have, you know, these musicians in here, you know, because I love music and I love to talk about music, and it's so cool. You know, it adds variety to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to have live music in this studio, I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love to watch the musicians work in here.
Yeah.
It's just great, you know, and so, you know, nice job.
Well, thank you. And it's, I moved to this area from Milwaukee about 8 years ago. The first time I ever heard your show, I was just flipping through. Must have been the first weekend I moved. I was flipping through the dial, and I heard somebody talking about Buffalo Tom.
Ah!
And I just stopped, and I was like, because Buffalo Tom is one of my favorite bands ever.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, okay, I'm listening to this guy.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan ever since. So for me to even supply a little bit of fun to the show,
well,
off to the side,
you have
a huge treat.
You have, man. It's great, and I always look forward to it. Whenever we have musicians booked, you know, and Dan's like, because you know, Dan obviously does all the work on
yeah,
this show.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Do anything.
Right.
I don't do it. I come in and I talk into the microphone like a jackass. The guy who does all the work on this show is Dan Shagru.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he books the guests and all that stuff. I mean,
right.
We, you know, we talk about stuff together,
oh,
guest suggestions and
sure.
topics and stuff like that. So I add a little.
Right.
Like a 10%. But when he tells me, I'm like, okay, what do we got booked for the next few days? And when he tells me we got some musicians coming in, I'm always very excited.
Yeah, we got some next one at least next week for sure. So
that's
be
great.
Really fun.
When we had one last night.
Oh,
David Hayes.
David Hayes
was
awesome.
On.
What a
yeah,
great
he's
guy,
terrific.
Hey?
Yeah, really nice guy.
Some interesting stories with him too.
Yeah,
with the cops
man.
And everything.
Yeah,
that guy. He's awesome. He's a super great guy. He just puts his nose to the grindstone. Works hard.
Absolutely.
That record's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, we had him in last night. Told some great stories, and he played a couple of really cool songs.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate that. Now we'll get into vinyl in a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
here we got to take a break.
Sure.
We got to go to the news. Jim Hanke is with us. We're going to talk about vinyl. If you are a vinyl enthusiast, if you're a music fan. Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. More coming up right here on 720 WGN.
We look at each other, wondering what the other is thinking, but we never say a thing. These crimes between us grow deeper.
Yeah. I just so happen to have a Dave Matthews hat on right now. One of the recent releases on vinyl is Remember Two Things, which is the very first album from the Dave Matthews Band. Joining me in studio, and I'm Nick DiGilio, by the way, and this is 720 WGN, Jim Hankey, who writes about vinyl and is a music guy. And so they just recently released this recently.
Ha-ha. Yeah. speaking of which, by the way, I don't know if you knew that, they also this past... you've had guests in before about Record Store Day.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So they do a Black Friday version of that as well. So there's the normal April version and then one Black Friday. And this most recent Black Friday, they actually did put out recently the EP on vinyl.
Oh, they did?
So the entire recently EP is the first side, and I believe the B side is all like live versions or some other stuff. So if you're looking for recently on vinyl, there's that too.
That's great. That's Dave Matthews Band. This is really fantastic what they've done with
yeah,
this.
I mean we had a chance to take a look at it a little bit together before we went on, and you know, I will say this, I was a huge Dave Matthews fan in high school. I was probably as nuts about Dave Matthews in high school as you are currently.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, you know, college happens and you start listening to new bands
right.
and I kind of fell out with them after Before These Crowded Streets is fantastic, and I just kind of stopped following them after that.
Got it.
So reviewing this re-release of their first album, it's the first time it's ever been on vinyl, reviewing it for Modern Vinyl, it's weird to sit down with songs that you haven't heard in 15 years
sure.
and kind of critique them that way. What I found in general is that the packaging is awesome. It sticks with the original stuff. We can look at it later, but the back is it's a gold stamp limited edition. That's a big thing for record geeks, is if it's limited, there's a gold stamp on it that says,
right.
oh, I have number 500 out of 1,000 or
yeah.
something like that.
Right.
It's like baseball cards. We all want a rare thing or a red vinyl or whatever. But I felt the sound on it, just because it is the band's first record. You know, they were in Virginia playing. They were very successful, but I felt that...
Yeah, they were a bar band.
They were a bar
point.
Band.
Yeah.
And it kind of, to me, and again... you know, we're buddies. We're you know, we're not going to get into it.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man.
But you know what I mean? It's like I feel that the next studio albums, because Under the Table and Dreaming is going to come out in February, and then with Vinyl's resurgence, I can't imagine that they wouldn't put Crash and
sure.
Discarded Streets out as well. That I just think those are going to sound better with this new form, with not a new format, but you know, mastering for the modern age. Basically.
Sure.
You know, you take. Probably cheaply recorded songs back then and try and spruce them up to make your audiophile system sound good. It just didn't transfer super well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just me, though. I mean, I listen to records a lot. And
yeah.
Your normal Dave Matthews fan might put it on and be like, this is great, and that's awesome for them. For me, I found it like, I think the next ones are going to be better.
Okay. Well, that, I think, was the case on CD as well.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Because the, you know, the quality of Under the Table, there's a reason why there's a bunch of songs off of this that ended up on Under the Table.
Well, absolutely. They got RCA money,
yeah.
you know, RCA Records money, and they can re-record yeah. certain of those songs. They can get John Popper to play harmonica on your single or whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's great to have. If you're just a collector and you're a Dave fan and you want to grab it, awesome.
Yeah.
For me, it's one of those things where... for me, did it need to be done? Not necessarily, but there's
right.
clearly an audience. Vinyl is huge now. There's an audience for everything.
That's right.
Any record you see in a store where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to buy that, somebody else will.
The first break that we did when we came back, we played some Jack White. Talk
yeah.
a little bit about this release. You were giving me the numbers off the air, and it's
yeah.
kind of staggering.
Yeah. So just general 2014 numbers for vinyl. So total album sales, digital, CD, vinyl. All that was down 11% worldwide for 2014. But vinyl sales themselves were up 52%, according to Billboard and Nielsen. And that totals about 9.2 million records. So Jack White's Lazaretto, his second solo album, which came out last year to pretty rave reviews, it was the number one selling vinyl release of last year of 86,700 copies. That makes up 27% of total vinyl sales, total new vinyl sales.
It's amazing.
For last year. So his record makes up for more than a fourth of that total number. And we don't count, you know, buying a used record at a record
yeah.
store. We're talking about newly manufactured.
Newly released. Newly,
right.
Yeah.
And he actually, for several years, Abbey Road was always the number one selling vinyl album, even as recently as 4 years ago. Jack White's first solo album, Blunderbuss, knocked that off.
Knocked off Abbey Road.
Knocked off Abbey Road.
Good Lord.
So now we're talking. And this record, Lazaretto, I mean, this came out.
And you brought it down here. We have a copy.
You know, this came out spring or summer or so of last year. So the reason why this record is so popular is all the goodies that come with it. People are used to putting on a vinyl record and putting a needle on it and it going from the outside in. Side A of Lazaretto from Jack White plays from the inside out. So you put the needle down as close to the label as you can and it starts going the opposite way. It's not
crazy.
An error. That's how you wanted it. You want it to be cool like that. Side B, if you put on side B, depending on where you put the needle, and he's not the first person to do this. I believe Monty Python, of all artists and groups, was the first to do this. Depending on where you put the needle on side B, there's a first track, but it has two different intros. So you put it on one way, and it's an acoustic intro, and then it's all of a sudden full band. You put it on another way, and it's full band, full band, full band. So that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
There's a hologram etched into the dead wax. The dead wax is what we call where the needle goes, and it goes straight to the
dead
label,
wax. Yeah.
There's a hologram, an etched, hand-etched hologram of an angel, where I can even see it in the studio light here, where if you spin it around, this angel basically hovers above the record. And there's way more that is with this record. And the cool thing is that it wasn't an ultra limited $500 album. This was his normal version of the album for $20. So anybody just really getting into vinyl and wanted something cool to show their friends, this worked for them. And not to mention that the music's great, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So are a lot of artists doing these kind of crazy things with their records?
Not a ton. The main thing that's really happening is variants. People want, people want first pressings. People want if it came out on translucent green vinyl or God, there's been some bands, the Flaming Lips. I don't know if you know, a couple record store days ago, they made a compilation album and put blood in the album. Jack White himself has put out singles before with liquid, like some mysterious blue liquid in it, and it just spins around and spins around. And it looks really cool. So not everybody's doing it to the Jack White level.
Right.
But in general, people do pre-orders a whole lot for vinyl online now. So a band will put out an album and be like, hey, if you pre-order it, you'll get a blue one or a red one or, the gatefold, like Dave Matthews, you open that up. It's a really cool gatefold. They're doing stuff like that. You're no longer going to get the sing-along with Mitch records from decades ago where it's just a record in a sleeve. People are trying to do really cool things, but he is the most known guy who goes to bat for vinyl in the modern age, for sure.
Okay, Jim Hankey's with us, and we're talking about vinyl. If you want to jump in with your text or your talk, it's 312-981-7200. What do you... When did there become this resurgence in vinyl? Because for a long time it was dead. It was absolutely dead. When did it start to pick up?
I was looking at a chart the other day that basically looked about 2007, 2008.
Okay.
is where it started happening. And, just going through, like, there's a top 10 list, right, of stuff from this past year, the top selling vinyl albums of last year. Jack White, Arctic Monkeys, there's two Lana Del Rey albums on here. People are still buying Legend from Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Wow.
People never stop buying that, apparently.
Well, of course, you got to go to college.
Right. but, the most recent Black Keys is on there. So it's varied. And Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, is number 9. I mean, people are buying classics, but they're also buying the new stuff, too.
Mm.
In general, it's been on the upswing for sure for the last 6 years or so.
Yeah. Can you kind of pinpoint, is there a theory as to why it started to come back? Was there?
No, I mean, there's so many think pieces, man. If you Google vinyl think pieces online, it's just everybody's doing a story about the comeback of vinyl, and it's about the sound, and it's about having something in your hand, which I love.
I mean,
there are liner notes that you're not going to get with buying a download or something like
that.
There's not one particular release or one particular reason. For me, what it's always been with vinyl is you can go into your iTunes right now and rename any file in your iTunes. If DJ Shagru here wanted to go in and take his favorite album, Melancholy Infinite Sadness, and rename it the Dan Shagru Band,
he
can do that. If you take a CDR, you can write, Nick DiGilio Band on any CDR, and you can put it in, and it's Dave. When you hold a record, when you look at Remember Two Things or Lazaretto, or I mean, it's that record.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
Yeah.
You can't change that medium whatsoever. And that's what I love about it.
You know, I mean, the experience, I mean, I grew up, you know, I mean, I was born in 65, so I grew up with vinyl. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different experience that young people, and I know I'm going to sound like I'm 9,000 years old, but young people don't kind of understand, was going to a record store,
mm-hmm.
the actual event of going to a record store and flipping through the records and picking an album out or a single.
Yep.
Yeah, there's these things called singles. There used to be these things called singles.
There still are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And so you know you get the album, you bring it home, you listen to it, you look at the cover,
yep.
you look at the liner notes, you look at the sleeve. There was a physical experience to that.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you download a song, I know it's convenient and everything.
Right.
And the other thing about it is that the experience of listening to an actual album, because everything is shuffle mode now.
Yeah.
Everything is like, you know, you download a bunch of songs that are your favorite songs, and then you put it in whatever song pops up next. But like the experience, because, you know, these artists actually put these songs on this album in a specific order for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the album is trying to say something.
Yeah.
And to convey that is a really cool thing that's missing now.
Exactly. And part of the act, it's a physical act to put on a record,
yeah.
go do something for...
And then turn it over.
And turn it over.
Yeah.
Or if you have a 2 or 3 or 4 album set, to do that for like an afternoon.
Yeah.
I love it. We have a finished attic in our house, and that's the record room, basically.
Okay.
You get to go up there, chill out after a long day, and, you know, maybe before bed I'll put out an album or two and just sit and read. Or, you know, I might be on my phone, but I'm listening to the record.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a physical
act. I used to love the double albums where it was side 1 and side 4.
Right.
On one.
Yeah. They don't do that much anymore.
So you can put it on the spindle.
Right.
And so like side 2 would drop down.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to get up. You could just listen to side 1, then side 2 was on the other album.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought that was so cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. Jim Hankey's with us, and we're talking about vinyl. We got more stuff to talk about here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number on 720 WGN. No matter how I try to be just one of the guys, Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Having some fun here talking with Jim Hank, who writes about vinyl for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. And what did we just hear?
That was Jenny Lewis, who you, obviously as a film and TV kind of guy, would know from probably her child acting days.
Mm-hmm.
In movies like The Wizard.
The Wizard with Fred Savage,
Fred Savage,
the video game movie?
Yep, and okay. Troop Beverly Hills, stuff like that. So the deal with Jenny Lewis is that she hooked up with a guy named Blake Sennett, who played one of the bullies on Boy Meets World. For, you know, it was a very L.A. actor kind of band.
Okay.
You know, they grew up and they were in their early 20s. They started a band called Rilo Kiley, which were pretty popular on the indie circuit for many years. This is Jenny Lewis's third solo album, The Voyager, which came out last year. One of my favorites of the year, made my top 10 list. And this is just, I wanted to bring it down for you to see, too, that how visual and iconic this kind of this album is. Now, this looks like, to me, the, do you remember Trapper Keepers from the 80s?
Yes.
And stuff like that?
Yeah.
This looks like a Trapper Keeper power pantsuit that Jenny Lewis is wearing. And, you know, it was photographed, the entire, all the album artwork was done by Autumn DeWilde, a really great photographer. You know, the neat thing with this record is it's just so adult for Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
Rilo Kiley was a band that sang about, very much about quarter life crisis kind of stuff.
Sure.
On this record for The Voyager, she's talking about, you know, she's singing things like one of her singles, she mentions, you know, singing about another girl and how she's easy. Well, she's not singing about it from a promiscuity point. She's singing about it like she's easy and I'm messed up. Does that kind of, you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
Like it's that kind of thing. She's entering her 40s. She's great. She's touring this spring. She'll come through Chicago, I think in March or May or something. It's just one of my favorite records of last year. It's
God, wonderful. She's entering her 40s.
Well, no, I just
feel like an old dude now, man.
I'm 35.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so that's out there. Now, you said that you made a top 10 of the 2014.
Yeah.
What were some of your other favorite albums, that your favorite vinyl albums that came out?
Sure.
What were some of them?
I have to tell you, since we were talking about bands that have been in here before, Kevin Andrew Purchill made my list.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, that guy, Sorrow Sings was his album, and objectively, even though I worked with him and alongside him on promotion for that record, it's one of my favorites of the year. My number one was They Want My Soul by the band Spoon, who they were just firing on all cylinders with that record. I think the record before, they had a little bit of a lag. That one was really good. I'm trying to think of some others that were... there's a, I guess, a band that you would qualify as an emo band called The Hotel Year.
I know that band.
They really took off year. Really, you know, music that I don't feel I can relate to, you know, being in my mid-30s, but I put it on and I feel like I'm 17 again in a basement show.
Sure.
And that kind of stuff. So,
sure.
Those are some records that just come to mind.
Now, how many records do you buy? Do you buy a lot of records?
Yeah. You know, I think less than others. I still would put my vinyl collection maybe around 300 albums, but I mean, I've got friends who have thousands. Mm-hmm. So I tend to buy artists that I'm already familiar with, or, you know, I use YouTube or Bandcamp or whatever to check it out. I don't use that as my primary source of music. I do that to check it out and see if I would like to buy the record.
Yeah.
You know, if people do things digitally, they don't want to mess with vinyl, that's totally fine. But for me, I can't use a digital service just as my main form of music. Yeah. I want to have that physicality there.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. We've got some texts coming in. If you guys have questions or comments, or you're a vinyl enthusiast, or you have questions about records, 312-981-7200. Really quickly, before we hit the news, 847 area code says, how is a vinyl record made? And are there plants that produce them? In fact, you wrote about the lack of amount of plants where records are made.
Yeah, we could go an hour on this.
Okay, you know what? Here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah,
let's save that.
Sure.
All right. So that's the first question coming out of the gate after 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Jim Hankey is with us. He's got a website called ratheryouthanher.tumblr.com, which we have a link for on our Facebook page. So you can just go to facebook.com/NickDShow and you can get there. Writing about vinyl for websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. We've got more to talk about with vinyl and all kinds of cool stuff. And if you have a question or a comment, or if you're a big record enthusiast, we'd love to hear from you supporting vinyl. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up here on 720 WGN, and then more with Jim. Every kind of line is gonna come back to me just as I call. Nick DiGilio, that's me, and we are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about cheapskates, so get your cheapskate stories ready. I've got some really sort of hilarious online stories about people who are really, really cheap, and I want to hear stories from you, your friends or neighbors, or you yourself, maybe. Maybe you're cheap. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now, we're talking about vinyl. Jim Hankey writes about vinyl for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. And we're talking about the format's resurgence and all kinds of cool stuff. And that, tell everybody who we just heard.
Yeah, that was Spoon. That was from my the first track off my favorite album of last year. Probably my favorite single of the year, called Rent I Pay. Mm-hmm. It's quickly gone from like, oh, that's a really good song, to like, okay, that might be my favorite Spoon song ever. But they're just a fantastic band, and I gave Dan a little thumbs up there for playing that track.
There
it's
you
awesome.
Go. All right. Well, we're talking vinyl, we're talking records, and we're talking music. A lot more to talk about here with Jim, and we're hanging out here in the studios on the 7th floor. 312-981-7200. For all you vinyl enthusiasts, your record people, or anybody who has a question or a comment, you can text and call 312-981-7200. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, question. So the only reason I got rid of my turntable is because it broke, my circa 1982. I think it was a Panasonic, great turntable, but it broke. I went and got rid of it, but of course it broke in about 1992 when CDs were, you know, I figured there was no reason to keep my vinyl either, so I got rid of it all. So I've been thinking about this for a while, and my question is, so I don't have a receiver anymore because I don't need one. My Scott speakers are buried in the basement somewhere. With modern turntables that are coming out now, I mean, I have a soundbar. It's Wi-Fi. How do you merge, you know, new turntables with modern technology like this? I don't want to buy a new receiver and new speakers. Can you do that? And are there turntables that do that? And also, is the sound quality? I want the pops and hisses and everything, you know, that we used to love.
Yeah, that's a really good question. To answer, as far as like streaming that sound throughout your house, that's something you'll have to maybe research a little bit more. I personally do have a receiver, and honestly, I have a turntable, and I'll get into it in a little bit, that cost about $200-$300, but my receiver and my speakers are both from like Goodwill. You know, it's like, it's just sometimes
sure.
You just
take... I've got my Scott speakers in the basement, so that's good. I'd have to buy a receiver, but yeah,
absolutely. As far as you're looking for a new turntable though?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Some recommendations I can give, because your Targets and your big box stores are selling turntables. However, they're not great. They're mostly made by a company called Crosley that they do a lot of 5-in-1s. They're like, oh, it plays CDs and it's a radio and it's a turntable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And once you
get... Because fucking's bad, not one thing good.
Right. Exactly. There's a company called Audio Technica that makes a model LP60 or LP120. What these are and you can usually get them for about $100 to $120 at most record stores. Most record stores, at least out by me in the west suburbs, they do sell these. The difference between the models is one of them has a USB port if you do want to convert old vinyl to MP3. That would be the 120 one. This turntable is easy, one button functionality. You want the needle to go on, you press a button, it does it. That's it. And it's pretty good. If you want to go a little bit more, higher up than that, there's a great company out of the Boston area called U-Turn Audio, like the letter U-Turn Audio. This was started by three engineering college students in Boston who wanted to make a audiophile worthy turntable for cheap. And they did a Kickstarter, were massively funded. It's the turntable I have, and it's great. There's a little bit more, you know, you have to actually put the needle on the record. You have to do some balancing, not with the tone arm so much, but you physically have to change the speeds from 33 to 45 if you want.
No, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, I would check them out. U-Turn Audio, just Google that, and I love it. I love it.
All right, Kerry?
Great.
Thanks,
great
man.
Advice. Thanks a lot.
You remember the days when you'd have to put something on the needle, like a penny or something, to weigh it down?
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. I'm trying to give the Reader's Digest version of vinyl. I mean, there are guys on forums yelling at each other about tone arm weight and all this. It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, the great thing about the U-Turn is your turntable comes, from, you know, FedEx or UPS. The tone arm is completely balanced. You don't have to do anything different. You don't have to tape a penny like you used to.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Getting back to that 847 area code text, how is vinyl made and are there plants that produce them? You said that there is a lack of plants out there doing vinyl work.
Right. Well, the first part of that, how are vinyl records made? There are plenty of videos on YouTube that can show that. The general idea, if I can pack it in 10 seconds, is basically that you have a master that's cut, music is put onto that master, and it's duplicated thousands of times, like a CD is.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the plants go, there are only 15 domestic vinyl pressing plants in the entire country.
Wow.
15.
Wow.
So here's
where are they located? Are there here in Chicago?
There's one in Cleveland. There's Got a Groove in Cleveland. I don't think there's many in Chicago here. United is a big one that's out in Tennessee.
Okay.
That's the one Jack White uses for all his stuff. So here's the issue that's kind of coming to a head though with vinyl. Obviously it's getting very big, and people want to do it, and record companies are seeing that vinyl's making money, so they kind of will put out reissues of stuff that doesn't need to be reissued. There's a new Fleetwood Mac Rumors reissue. You can find a copy of Rumors for $5 anywhere.
Yeah, sure.
So they're flooding the market, and then these 15 domestic, there are ones overseas, but these 15 domestic plants that are left have to deal with all that. United itself, one of the most popular ones, has now started to turn away new business because of that. So your bands that come in here and chat with you and say, oh, we want to put out a vinyl record, they just want to do a small pressing of 1,000. If they want to put that out in spring, they have to start thinking like in winter or the previous fall, how they're going to get that out.
Yeah.
So it's really just crazy. What's going to happen for vinyl to really come back full force is it's not going to be like, oh, we can hook my iPod up to a turntable. It's going to be somebody investing money into manufacturing. These duplication machines that people threw away when CDs, I mean, they're just gone.
Yeah.
I mean, so we actually need people to create duplication machines to make this happen again.
Wow.
So, but yeah, there are only 10 to 15. About 10 to 15 plants in the United States.
Wow, that's crazy. 773 area code sends in a text that says, vinyl sounds so much better than CD or digital. Does your guest know why? Is it the recording process?
Yeah, well, to answer your question a little bit, when things are made analogly, if that's a word.
it is now.
Right. You know, if you make a completely digital album in Pro Tools, it's not going to sound super great on vinyl. It might, and it can, but you've got to have some really talented people behind that. It's your albums that were made on tape that sound the best on vinyl. Mm. The reason vinyl sounds good is it's all waves, and I'm not a scientist or anything, but it's all really just about... it's about bass, it's about treble, it's about how the needle moves. The sad thing is when you're putting a vinyl record on and putting the needle down, very, very, very little each time you're damaging that record.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. It's, yeah, you know, it's not like a CD where it's just like, and you can wear CDs out obviously too, but you're putting a hard thing into a groove and it's going to dig through that groove in order to get the sound.
Right.
So each time you play a record, a very, very minuscule amount, you're killing that record, which is kind of romantic in a way, but kind of sad.
Right.
It's weird.
Right.
But there are many, many pieces online that talk about, I mean, just have graphs of sound waves and stuff about why this stuff sounds better. Mm-hmm. And fact is just, you know, you get a decent receiver, you got speakers on either end of the room, you put it on, it's going to sound great. Not that digital can't sound good, but for me, I notice there are plenty of records, favorite albums of mine that I've heard completely new things on vinyl that I didn't even hear on the original CD or digital download, right, for sure.
Interesting. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Jim Hankey is with us, writes about vinyl for modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. Here's Candy on WGN. Hi, Candy.
Hi, good Hi. Morning. How morning. Are you?
All right.
I have an old stereo. I believe it's tube. I've never opened up the back, but my needle... I've been looking for needles, and I have no clue as to where to get them.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Depending on the turntable that you have, that needle might not be able to be replaced at all, or you're going to have to look at a lot of auction sites and stuff like that for those needles. For older turntables, the replacement needles are really hard to come by, and you're going to probably want to talk to local record stores, maybe on, you know, Craigslist, try and find people who are dealing turntables, stereos, that sort of thing. They might be able to point you in the right direction. Yeah, online or that way is going to be the way to go, I think. It's just tough to replace parts of any kind on older turntables, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer because it's the flip needle and the other side is now totally gone, so...
Yeah, it's not impossible. It's certainly not impossible. It's just tough. So if you're really serious about replacing it, it's going to take, unfortunately, some man hours to kind of dig around and see who might be able to do that.
Okay, Candy.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. For people who still have those old turntables.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's awesome to, you know, Steve Strauss, he was a guy in a band called Smidgen who's been here and talked with you guys.
Yeah.
He sent me a text a while ago that's like, hey, man, you got me back into vinyl. Like, I've set up my stereo again. that's what's really cool. It's neat to talk to people in my age group who and younger who are into vinyl and getting into it, but to re-inspire somebody that, older than myself who has already been through vinyl and now getting back to it, that's really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's happening all over the place. Yeah. People busting out their old turntables and stuff. It's just that it's too bad that it's difficult to get the equipment to replace these things, the styluses and things like that.
Right. My only advice would be those two turntables I recommended to one of your previous callers. It's not that much of an investment, $100, $200, $300 to be able to play your records again. I say make it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hang on, man. We got Jim Hanke, who was with us. We're talking about vinyl and albums and records and all kinds of cool stuff. We got more to talk about. We got more texts coming in and phone calls as well at 312-981-7200.
Another fool, another fool, another fool in love with you. Hey.
Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5, and then we'll hang out for hour number 1 of the Steve Cochran Show. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about cheapness and cheapskates, and I want to hear your best I am cheap, he is cheap, she is cheap stories. You can text those or call us at 312-981-7200. But right now, we're in the middle of a discussion about vinyl records. Vinyl is making a comeback. And Jim Hanke writes about vinyl and for modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. And we've got some questions and comments coming in. Jim, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We got a bunch of texts, so why don't we just throw some of these out there. 248 area code says, I think the resurgence of vinyl is similar to holding an actual book as opposed to an e-reader. The tactile experience is much better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a that's a great thing. I mean, the e-readers... they're obviously very popular, but nothing beats the smell of a library book or the vinyl has a smell. Used vinyl definitely has a smell.
There's no question about it.
So I would definitely agree with that that texture for sure.
Yeah, I agree too. 331 area code says, if you want massive amount of vinyl, look at the heavy metal scene. Most new albums come out on vinyl, and a lot of the old 80s stuff has been reissued and remastered in deluxe packaging. Yeah. So is the metal scene has latched onto vinyl?
Yeah, absolutely. I would throw punk in there and emo bands and that sort of thing for sure. Metallica just got around all the legalities. You know, you have your DVD guy in here sometimes, and he talks about, well, things aren't on
There's
DVD.
There's licensing and all kinds of issues.
Metallica just got around to reissuing some of their early catalog, like just now, which you would think right when vinyl came back, you would think they would have done it. But so they're definitely right as well. And the metal stuff is when you get like the blood red vinyl and the the spooky kind of stuff. It's neat.
Yeah, that's cool. Mick sends us a text that says, looking for a dual CS-341 turntable cartridge needle. Any shops in Chicago?
The funny thing is there's not a whole lot of stores that deal primarily with gear. If they are, they're more DJ-centric for your people who are actually like DJ Shagrew spinning two turntables and a microphone.
Right.
I would honestly just call around to record stores because record stores know people. Record stores can recommend you to dealers. They can recommend you to offshoot people who can point you in the right direction. So if you can't find an actual store to pick up gear like that or replace needles or whatever, call around to record stores. They will point you in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. That's always a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. People don't, we talk about, I hear you talk about record stores a lot, and a lot of people are shocked that there still are some.
Yeah.
Near me, I live in Batavia. You know, we've got Kiss the Sky there in Batavia, there's Rediscover Records in Elgin. There's a slew. I mean, Reckless is one of my favorite places to dig around for sure. Yeah. They're actually, the Wicker Park location is actually expanding. They're going to be a big, superstore later this year, which will be really cool. They are around. I
mean, Reckless has been around for a really long time.
Oh, yeah, very much. And, my wife and I went to London. We went to the London one.
Oh, yeah.
On a recent trip. They're great. Yeah. Love Reckless.
But, that's a great way to start because, like you said, record store people who work in record stores, people who go to record stores, they have connections.
If you have a problem with your car, you ask your buddy who knows a mechanic, right?
Right.
So, if you've got questions about gear or like replacing needles or great turntables or whatever, call somebody, just introduce yourself. They're nice. They're not all high fidelity. You know, they're not all Jack Black. You know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah. You're not going to get abused if you go in.
No.
Like,
they're
going
to care that you're taking the care to know these
things. Yeah. They're not all Barry from High Fidelity.
No.
Jack says, what is the main cause of sibilance on vinyl? I have some 180 gram records that still suffer from this problem. And I am using a new stylus.
Could be a number of things. There are new records, unfortunately, just due to shipping and packaging and everything like that, because these records are made by not necessarily the label. They get packaged and shipped, and they get to you. You open up the cellophane and put it on your turntable, and you'll get eye to eye with your turntable, and you'll see that record is slightly warped.
Yeah.
That can be a lot of it. So those long tones are going to sound really swirly. This has happened a couple times to me and friends of mine. If there's any damage in when you buy a brand new record, you have a new stylus and the record doesn't sound great, or there's a big dig somewhere in the groove or something like that, that's a manufacturing problem.
Mm.
And usually you can email the label. In my experience, you can email the label, explain it, maybe take some pictures, and they can send you a new one. That sometimes happens. So you can ditch the one that might not sound great. So from a sibilance issue, that would be my only thing, is maybe there's a slight warp to the record. You know, maybe depending on the type of turntable, because there are belt drive and direct drive turntables.
Right.
If it's a belt one, the belt could be, you know, straining. Any number of issues, but those are some ideas.
Okay. Jim, hang on, okay?
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more. We've got texts coming in. If you want to jump in here, we're talking about vinyl. We're talking about records. 312-981-7200. Jim Hanke is my guest. He writes about vinyl for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com, of which we have links on our Facebook page. Time to take a break, and when we come back, it's news and then more vinyl talk.
Hey, found what you're looking for, yeah!
Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Yeah, we are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5, and then we'll hang out for hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. My guest right now is Jim Hanke. He writes about vinyl and records for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. Tell everybody what we just heard.
The hotel year, right, Dan? It's early.
That's correct, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's one of my favorite records last year, but it's still a little early. Yeah, they're a great band. They it's one of those things where like a record like that comes along, that the way the scene kind of jumped on that record, it something like that only happens every couple years or so. Mm-hmm. And they're a very young band out of, gosh, I want to say Pennsylvania, but I'm not positive. But just a lot of really good emotion, but really good songs. Like you can plug in a guitar and scream all you want or whatever, or sing off key. But these guys really, from the get-go, and I hadn't really heard much of their stuff before, just really, really impressed me. And they spell it H-O-T-E-L-I-E-R. So not the hotel year. It's the hotelier.
Like hotelier.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. So, well, that's cool. All right. Recently released on vinyl. We're talking records and vinyl. 312-981-7200 if you're an enthusiast or if you just got a question and all that cool stuff. We have a couple of texts here.
Sure.
Bill says, do certain companies like Capitol or RCA produce records that sound better?
For the argument's sake, Beck's album from last year called Morning Phase is one of the best sounding vinyl records I heard all of last year.
Mm.
Very orchestrated, but mastered like perfectly. Everything sounds great. Sounds kind of like fade in and out of your speakers and jump all over the place. Really good. And that's on Capitol. However, Capitol also is known for reissuing some of their back catalog, like Radiohead stuff, first couple Coldplay records, and they don't sound great. So I'm not exactly sure what the deal is there. It really depends. Any reason a vinyl record would sound great mainly has to do with how it was recorded, how it was mastered for vinyl. Because as we talked about, there are only 10 or 15 vinyl plants in the States. There are 30. I read an article this week that there are about 30 people in the entire United States who master for vinyl. So,
wow.
So a record label can go straight from the recording studio to vinyl and not really have anybody sit down with that process and make
it and great. Master it and actually master it.
Right. So it's like your labels that are really taking time to hire a mastering engineer vinyl.
What is the skill differences between mastering for vinyl and mastering digitally?
I mean, you have to have, as we talked about, you kind of have to have that original product of a really good mix to begin with. If you're just anybody can make a record in their bedroom now, which is great, but it's not going to sound fantastic on vinyl. So you have to have a really great starting place first. And then it's all, I wish I knew more about the entire process.
Yeah.
But it is really about sound waves and how they interact with each other and how this guitar shouldn't be quieter than this bass, but should be louder than the drums and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then actually carving that into an acetate and duplicating it from there.
And it takes a complete understanding of the process.
Absolutely.
And you said that there are 30, roughly 30 mm-hmm. Masters out there. Yeah. Are a lot of them old guys who have been in the business for a really long time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. There are a couple that are, you know, just coming up for sure. But it's going to be one of those things where that knowledge has to go down to a younger generation for this stuff to happen. Sooner or later, like the equipment, that knowledge is going to go away, and we need to keep that around
sure.
so that people younger than both of us can grow up and go, oh, I want to do this for a living.
Right.
The machines, just to give you an idea, the machines that just put the sound onto the master for it to be duplicated, those machines now cost between $50,000 to $60,000.
Wow.
So we're not talking about any equipment used to make the cover art, to print that, to actually like duplicate the physical vinyl. We're talking about the thing that starts it all costs $50,000 to $60,000, and that equipment is not being made right now. So you have to find it. Wow. You have to find a place that's willing to sell it. You have to find a warehouse that had it and didn't know they had it. It's a crazy process.
Wow. 331 area code says, I love vinyl, but my problem with new vinyl is that the mainstream reissues or releases are extremely expensive. Why does it cost $40 for a reissue of Kiss Love Gun?
First of all, why are you buying
Kiss
Love Gun? I can answer your question right there. Secondly, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it shouldn't cost that. So you can dig around and find a used copy of Love Gun for much less than that. It depends. New vinyl, depending on the label, you know, and we're talking from your indie upstart labels to your majors, cost a new record costs anywhere from $10 to, on average, $25 to $30. It's up to you to make that investment, whether or not you want to or not. There are places out there that are just in it for you know, they see an upswing in vinyl and want to jump on it.
Yeah.
And there are labels out there that are doing poor jobs in bringing. There's one, I won't name it in particular, but that's taking probably a lot of you and I's favorite 90s records and doing what I feel is a poor job with reissuing them. They get, just because they legally obtain the rights to do it, doesn't mean they should, because they're doing, I feel, a very poor job of doing it. Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question, I mean, it's just one of those things where not every new record costs $40, but it depends. Maybe there's cool stuff in there. Maybe there's an etched side D that I don't know about or whatever with the Kiss.
Well,
stuff.
In the original album, I was, you know, I was a Kiss fan, but that was when I was 10.
Right.
You know, and when Love Gun came out, it actually had, I don't know if they, in the reissue, the vinyl reissue, it had an actual gun.
Yeah.
That you could actually take off. I think it was, mm-hmm. you know, it was on the back of the record.
Right.
And you could take it off. And then if you popped it, it would make a sound.
Yeah.
So there was an actual Love Gun on it. So I don't know if in the reissue they've got that Love Gun in there.
I don't know.
And that's why they jacked up the price a little
bit. You know, it's one of those things too. There's your eBay and stuff like that, but there's a site called Discogs.com, DISCOGS.com, which deals strictly in CDs, vinyl and everything like that. And it's like an eBay. You're looking for classic records, maybe a European press of this one, or maybe a Greek press of this record, and you can buy and sell with other people. And maybe there'll be a cheaper version that you can find out there.
Are there a lot of places online to get vinyl?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it a great avenue to go? Like, if people don't have record stores in their neighborhood or anything like that,
yeah.
Now, if you're going online to get some vinyl, mm-hmm. will you find varying prices as well? Which, can you shop around? And
yeah, in general, though, I think you're going to find at most probably a $3 to $5 range. There's stores like InSound, labels obviously sell their own stuff too. I mean, you go to a record label website, they're going to guide you to their store.
Yeah.
But you can get them on Amazon. You can get them on InSound.com is one that's used very popularly. There's plenty. I would obviously urge people to do if they have them in their area, to go to a record store.
Sure.
If you don't have what they're looking for, or if they don't have what you're looking for, ask them. You know, they will special order stuff for you, or tell you when stuff might be coming out or whatever. Just have that interaction with a real person. But obviously I buy a lot of my stuff online too. I'm just saying that, like, if you miss the act of actually digging through records, go do it. It's a fun way to kill an afternoon.
And it's also great too, because, whenever I've had Jeff Tuckman on in the past, mm-hmm. They barely exist now, but we would always encourage people to go to mom and pop DVD stores, yeah. or mom and pop video stores.
Right.
Now, it's all about streaming, and it's all about, Redbox yeah. and Netflix and things like that.
Right.
So, but in the old days when we would talk, we would always say support the mom and pop stores.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with big chain stores
no.
or anything like that,
not
but just you want to keep the small businessmen going and support small businesses.
Right.
You know
the big chains of record stores don't exist. Your Sam Goody,
they're all gone.
Your Tower Records,
yeah.
they're gone. So if it is a brick and mortar store, chances are it might be like Reckless, like here in Chicago. They have multiple locations, but they're indie. Dusty Groove, another record store, they're a mom and pop.
You get the Jazz Record Store right around the corner from
the
from
Jazz
here.
Mart, right?
Yeah, the Jazz Mart, which
mm-hmm.
is great.
So if you find a brick and mortar record store, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a big, it's going to be a small one. Half Price Books obviously sells a lot of vinyl.
Yeah.
They're a big chain, but there's not a Walmart of record stores these days. There's really not.
Yeah.
You can buy online or go the indie route and go to a store.
All right, cool. We're going to wrap everything up with you for a few more minutes here, Jim. Thanks for hanging out with us. I really appreciate
you bet.
It.
It's
I just found
fun.
Out that you have to work in the morning.
I'd talk about records all night. Man.
If you work with Jim, he's going to be very sleepy today.
Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. You like you, cause I always knew. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for surrounding you. Now I'm going through.
All right.
Crawling back to you.
Nick DiGilio, that's me. Hi, everybody. Having a blast here this morning, hanging out with Jim Hanke, who writes about vinyl and records for the websites modern-vinyl.com, sharingneedleswithfriends.com. Before we go any further, we got some texts here that I want to get to. Tell me about sharingneedleswithfriends.com, because I absolutely
yeah.
love the name of the website.
Okay, so sharingneedleswithfriends.com is a wonderful, mainly a podcast based out of Tennessee, hosted by three guys, Derek, Blake, and Gene. And I got in touch with those guys because they saw my work elsewhere. And we just, we share pictures. This is how nerdy we are about records. We literally just take pictures of records and put them on Instagram. Like, hey, I got this pressing. Oh, man, I love that record. People take pictures of food. People take pictures of themselves with selfies. We are guys who take pictures of just inanimate objects.
Just records.
Record doesn't need to be spinning. Or just take a picture inside Reckless one day, whatever.
Yeah.
So I got in touch with those guys. They wanted to expand their text content because they are mostly a podcast. So
sure.
I've done a review there for them. I'm going to do more stuff.
That's great.
But that's the best name ever.
Oh no, I cracked up when I saw this on your bio and it was like, this is what he writes for, Sharing Needles with Friends. I was like, that's hilarious.
They have t-shirts too.
Yeah.
That it's like it's like two of the Big Eyes characters.
Oh yeah.
Like around a record player. So it looks very like faded in the 70s and kind of druggy in a way.
Yeah.
No drugs involved.
Nice. No drugs involved. It's styluses.
Right.
That's what we're talking
yes.
about. Tom from Lyle says, in the 60s, my uncle had a record player that cost about $500. It had weights and levels to balance the arm.
Yep.
He claimed that it was perfectly balanced and the record would never wear out. Is that true?
No. Anytime you put a needle into a groove, it's going like we talked about. The needle actually. It's not the weight of the arm. The weight of the arm matters because you don't want the needle going too deep into that groove. But to say that because the torn armor is balanced, it doesn't damage record, it's not the case.
No, I was telling you off the air that I went through. I went through Zeppelin II.
Yeah.
My vinyl of Zeppelin II, I wore it out. Yep. I literally wore it out.
Right.
708 area code. Any idea where to get a 78 turntable? I still have had my parents' 78s. Do the turntables go up to 78 anymore?
There are a couple new turntables that do go up to 78. It's not common, though. So you're either going to have to find a specific kind that does go up there and will go from 33 and a third to 45 to 78. But also your garage sales. But then again, if you get a 78 record player garage sale, you're probably looking at replacing the needle. So
which is going to be difficult to do.
It's kind of tough. You know?
Boy, if you got those, you know, some of those 78s are valuable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, the people have their grandfather or grandmother's collections or something like that, or the old 78s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a pity you can't just start playing them. I mean,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Mario says, another reason to get into vinyl is the rediscovery of familiar albums. Frank Zappa, in particular, had a tendency to edit and completely alter mixes when remastering for CD. Mm-hmm. Listening to my father's collection of the original pressings was almost a slap in the face in a good way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Artists like Zappa and, you know, they care. Zappa's a guy who, like, this is what my work is.
Yeah.
And, like, you can interpret it any other way, but he was, like, the guy behind his own work. And he's
He's
going to make it sound as best to him as possible, and it's rare to find artists like that. So that's what's cool, is that, you know, certain pressings are, you know, just because it's like the same record doesn't mean a pressing doesn't vary from one another. The Greek press sounds way better than the Polish one. You know, it if you want to get nerdy about it, that's what happens.
You know, I only got to see Zappa once, and it was in 87 at the Auditorium. And I remember Sting came out because he was in town too.
Oh, wow.
And they did Murder by Numbers.
Whoa.
But they did, you know, he had an orchestra there. You know, he had like horns and strings and everything. And he conducted, you know, it's Zappa.
Wow. Yeah.
And they did Stairway.
Oh, cool.
And the orchestra did a note for note version of Page's lead.
Whoa.
It was unbelievably cool. It was da 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 da. And it was just like it was so awesome. All right, so now I got to get to the you know, as you know, because you help out a lot of the musicians and bands that come in here and hook us up.
Sure.
I always ask two standard questions to every musician.
Yes.
Actually, three.
Okay.
The first one being, do you have an older sibling?
I'm an only kid.
So am I.
Yeah.
So you didn't have I always say the almost famous moment where the older sister hands down the albums to the younger brother, which is such a great moment in that movie.
It is. I never had that. What I can say is that although both my parents are not musical, music was always on in the house, and it was, I always tell people it's people with unique voices. It was Roy Orbison, Patsy Cline, Beach Boys. Really good songs, but voices that were out of this world.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what got me started.
Okay. All right. First album.
First album I ever bought was on tape.
Okay.
It's Aerosmith's Greatest Hits.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. Aerosmith's Greatest Hits. Mm-hmm. Okay. First concert.
Okay. It was either, and it was, both of these were with my parents. So I got taken to them. It was either the Judds. Or, but on the cool front, Roy Orbison.
Oh, wow. You got to see Roy Orbison?
Yes.
Good for you.
I had to be under 7, probably.
Yeah, but that's cool, man. Right. You got to see Roy Orbison.
Yeah. So I definitely remember that. The first concert I went to without parental supervision.
Yeah.
Aerosmith again. 1993 or 94, Get a Grip Tour.
Yeah.
With Jackal opening.
Yeah, Jackal, man.
With, the big hit was Down on Me.
Oh, sure, man. Jackal.
Oh, boy. Weird times.
You got any Jackal vinyl?
No. Don't come to my house. I don't have any.
Okay. Well, Jim, man, it was a blast talking to you,
I can't tell you how fun this was.
Now, you know what, man? It's great. And thank you. I really want to thank you for hooking us up with some really talented musicians.
Anytime. It's a pleasure. As a fan of the show, it's huge to me to be able to help out in any way.
No, I appreciate that, man. Jim Hankey writes about vinyl for the websites modern-vinyl.com and sharingneedleswithfriends.com. Great talking with you, man. This
you
is
too,
a fun
man.
Time. We'll get you back on soon.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, take care. Jim Hankey, everybody. We'll take a quick break on 720 WGN. The news is next.